the Senate floor.
House Judiciary is called to order at 10:20, and it is the 5th of June. Present for the record are Representatives Guerra, Coghill, Wilson, Cott, and myself, McGuire. We do have a quorum to conduct business. We're just going to take up one item today, and this is the issue of original jurisdiction. Senate Bill number 2002, and we won't take up the stranded gas amendment yet, since it's being worked on fervently in the other body, so we'll stay tuned on that. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that we use the bill that is the CS for Senate Bill number 2002, Judiciary Version G, for our working document.
Okay, is there an objection to that motion?
No objection.
Okay, so any objection? Hearing none, we have the Senate CS Version G properly before us.
Yeah,
Representative Guerra.
Just to remind me, the Senate CS came out of the Senate committees but isn't on the Senate floor yet, or it's been past the Senate floor too?
It passed the Senate floor. It came to our body and was referred directly to this committee.
Legitimately here. We have the real deal.
Okay, and I can just, do I have, is that the version A? Is that, it's not A.
I have G.
Yes, for Senate Bill G. Got it.
Okay, do you have it? Okay, so we've got G before us, and we know a little bit about it because when Representative Coghill made his amendment yesterday,
it was
to comport with this draft. So we've got it before us. Doug Wolliver is again on the line to answer questions. I had closed public testimony, but I'm willing to open it up again if there's anybody in the audience that wishes to testify on Senate Bill number 2002. I had closed public testimony on the House bill, so I'll open up public testimony on the Senate. Is there anybody here in the audience? Is there anybody online that wishes to testify? Okay, so hearing none, I'll close public testimony on the Senate bill and just remind members that Doug Wolliver is on the line to answer any questions. We have amendments going around. Representative Gruenberg, would you like to offer this as amendment number one? Are you ready?
I am just looking here at... Okay, yes.
Okay, so...
Just a second, I'll do it right now.
Page 1, line 10, is that... Do you need a brief at ease, Representative Gruenberg?
Yeah.
Okay. Take a brief at ease.
I have been asking Ledge Legal for answers on some of the questions, and one of the things that has come up in this bill, but in some other bills, is... if the legislature reviews some of these things, then maybe the courts don't have to because there's a legislative role. But I've been doing some research going back to when we passed the Stranded Gas Act in 1997, and back then there was big questions about whether the legislative role is even constitutional. If you look at the Constitution, one view is the governor gets to execute things and the legislature just gets to pass laws, and so some people said at the time, this whole idea of the legislature confirming or stopping the governor from signing a contract is novel enough that it might violate the separation of powers. And then if that's the case and there's no legislative review and no court review, then what review is there? And so a few weeks ago I asked Ledge Legal to do a memo. I never realized that I got it, but I did get it, so here it is. And their view is there's a serious question whether the legislative confirmation agreement, approval, disapproval of this contract, that part is constitutional. I think they're, I just scanned it. I think they say they think it would probably violate the Constitution. But that's the point that, you know, if we have this sort of shell game where maybe the governor doesn't like our answer and then says, well, I don't have to listen to your answer because your answer is irrelevant under the Constitution, and then we don't get to review, and the courts don't get to review, then all of a sudden this is a one-branch government, and that's a big problem. So I hope I represented this memo right. I just scanned it. That's why I passed it out.
Representative Wilson.
I'm looking at the second paragraph there, and there is a however there. And so that might, you know, so it's questionable because of that however.
Yeah, I think in all these memos, I think they're very careful to say there are two sides of the argument. This is our best judgment. I think that's but however, we might be wrong.
Yeah.
Has the administration seen the memo?
No.
Okay, we'll give you a copy, Mr. Baldwin, so you can begin formulating a response to that. Okay, Representative Gruenberg, are you
I am.
Ready? Okay, tell us which
could
one.
I have Title 40. Over there, please. Okay. Yeah. Not what I've just spent the last couple of minutes, Madam Chair. Let me just have 30 seconds here. Look at something. I want to be sure that I've got something for you. 4382. Okay. Okay. Good. Okay. Let's take these in order. One I want to do first is the one that says delete a person may not bring and insert no. Can we call that? Okay. You have that, Madam Chair?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, we talked about this yesterday when we dealt with the Coghill Amendment. And what I've done is I've conformed this, and I'll give Shalon my copy eventually here, to conform it to the judiciary version of SB 2002, the G version. And so if you put it just at the top of all my amendments, instead of HB 2002, put SB 2002 paren jud, close paren G version. That should go at the top of all my amendments. And are we starting these? So this will be number one, Madam Chair?
Yes.
Okay. And instead of page 1, line 10, it's page 1, line 12. And then when it says page 1, line 13, where I say following section, just say at the beginning of the line. Which shows where the quote may be brought unquote goes. It goes at the beginning of page 1, line 13.
Okay.
Okay. So
do you want to move it?
I move the amendment.
Is there an objection? There's an objection noted from Representative Wilson. We want to speak to the amendment, Representative Gruenberg.
Sure. This is what Mr. Baldwin had talked about, and it's their suggestion, it makes it so you don't actually have to have the word person in there. And I'm sorry, since we're going off the Senate version, I also want to add to the amendment page 2, lines 6. Excuse me. Just a minute. Pardon me. Page 6, lines, page 2, lines 6 to 8, delete subsection B.
Okay. Yeah, I think this is fairly clear. This would accomplish what Representative Coghill's amendment did yesterday that didn't have any objection to it. Is there any renewed, Representative Wilson, I know you had objected to it. Do you understand what it does now?
Yes.
Okay, is there any other objection, remaining objection to amendment number one? Okay, hearing none, amendment number one carries. Representative Guerra?
Brief Eddies.
Okay, brief Eddies. Representative Gruenberg, page 2, line 1, deleting the state and
okay,
the other.
Now, it should be to page 2, line 5.
Okay.
And it's just a little more elegant to say executed by all the parties. That makes it very clear.
Do you want to move the okay, and I'll object just to hear. Does Mr. Baldwin, Would you be willing, if you guys would be willing to come forward so that we can have the administration's position on these amendments as we go through them? And after this amendment, I've just been told that there is an individual who wishes to testify on the bill that got on late, so I'll reopen public testimony, Jomo Stewart, who's in Fairbanks. But let's go ahead and dispense with the, pardon me, Representative Bloomberg, let's go ahead and dispense with amendment number two. I understand it's page 2, line 5 now. And then I want to hear, Representative Gruenberg, after your comments, I'd like to hear the administration's response. Representative Gruenberg.
I was just going to say, since Shalon is still duplicating, do you want to take this other person first? And by the time they finish, we'll have the amendments.
I think everybody has this amendment in front of them.
Oh, I could, because I don't. Okay. Oops, sorry.
I'd give you mine if...
No, but we're fine.
Okay. So does the administration have a position on amendment number two?
For the record, my name is Jim Baldwin. I'm counsel for the Attorney General's office, and I have with me here Bonnie Harris, Assistant Attorney General. as I understand Representative Gruenberg's amendment, it's to take out the words "the other" and insert in its place "all."
So it would read, and this isn't drafted very well, it should insert "all the." So it would read, "was executed by all the parties to the contract."
I don't think we have a problem with that amendment then.
Okay, I'll remove my objection. Is there any further objection to amendment number two? Okay, hearing none, amendment number two carries. Mr. Stewart, I'm going to go ahead and reopen public testimony. I understand you weren't on the line when I offered it. So go ahead, please, and offer your testimony on Senate Bill number 2002.
Madam Chair, if I may, I actually wanted to testify on a specific topic, and I haven't seen all the amendments before you. If the topic doesn't come up, I don't need to waste your time. Would you prefer that I simply sit for a while?
Does the topic have to do with original jurisdiction?
Actually, it's the final interest finding. There was a talk of moving judicial review to the end of the process after authorization to execute and execution.
Okay.
Again, if it doesn't come up, then I would have no need to testify.
Okay. Then if you just want to stay on the line, I'll go ahead and take your testimony if it does come up.
Thank you very much, Madam
Chair. Okay. You're welcome. Okay, so Representative Gruenberg, okay, amendment then, number three?
Yeah, it's the last, the only other one I'm offering is to page 2, line 8, conceptual amendment. It'd be number 3, and it's add the following sentence, and I'm making
two,
one
line
change.
Eight.
Yeah, it originally said line 2. It adds, in this section, quote, contract is. You don't have it?
Okay, no, I do.
You do, okay. I'm offering it with one change.
Okay.
And the language will be, in this section, quote, contract, unquote, is the contract, and instead of entered into, it's developed under. Mr. Baldwin has suggested the word use developed instead of entered into. Okay. So I'm offering
the
it.
Does the administration have an objection to that concept?
We generally don't think the amendment is necessary, but I mean that's what our comment is. We don't think it's necessary, but it's not injurious to us.
Okay. Representative Gruenberg?
I want this in there to be crystal clear to everybody that this is the contract we're talking about, because there are going to be all kinds of contracts that are between subs and everything else. And
Representative Wilson?
I thought in amendment number one, we deleted subsection B.
Excuse me?
Yeah, we
oh,
did.
Excuse me. No, no. Oh, okay. Yes, I'm sorry. This will now be a new subsection B. There'll only be one definition. Thank you very much. It's going to be, you'll have to say B, paren, B, close paren. Thank you. We're only having the one definition. But I want it so it's really clear that this is the contract. It's certainly will eliminate any possible question.
Okay. You want to move the amendment?
I do.
Okay. And is there an objection to amendment number three? Is there an objection to amendment number three? Okay, hearing none, amendment number three carries. Further amendments to Senate Bill number 2002?
Here, I have an amendment that was drafted to the House bill, but now it's, now that we're working on the Senate bill, it has to be conceptual so we can conform it to the right lines. But okay. Is it this one?
Yes, I have that. That's the big one.
A1.
This amendment 4.
I move conceptual amendment number 4.
Okay. I'll object just to hear about it.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I couldn't decide which bill to offer this one in. They all relate to the Stranded Gas Act, and this is an issue that many of us have talked about. I do not believe that in this public comment period that 30 days is adequate for the public to review the proposed contract, to review all of these gas issues, to review all of the economics of all these issues. I know the governor has said that he's going to give the public 45 days. I don't think that's enough. And so I think in order for the public to have fair input into this draft contract, fair input into this very big issue, they should have at least 90 days. And all this amendment does is it changes the Stranded Gas Act provision that only allows the public a minimum of 30 days to say it should be a minimum of 90 days. And I think in fairness, with us working full time, it's taken us quite a bit of time to get up to speed. The public doesn't get to work full time on this. After they get home from work, they get to work part time on this. So I think that 90 days is a better public policy than 30 days. And I'd like to add that into this bill.
Okay, discussion? Representative Gruenberg.
Madam Chair, I'd like the record to reflect my name as co-sponsor on the amendment, please.
Okay. Gruenberg, Gira.
Gira Gruenberg.
Discussion on amendment number 4.
Madam Chair.
Representative Coghill.
Whether or not I agree with this, we're going to be dealing with the amendments to the Stranded Gas Act amendments. I think it probably falls better into that, and I'd rather leave the original jurisdiction bill. We're going to have a debate on timing issues there. So I would ask that we reject the amendment because the next bill that we deal with is this very issue. And so I think we should hold off on it. I understand the member to my right here wants to put it on the first and only the bill that comes through here. So, but we do have that other bill lined up, and I think it more appropriately belongs there.
Okay. Yes, Representative Gruenberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Very briefly, it may also go on the other one, but this is so important that at least when it leaves this committee, it, I think, stands for a very important principle that we want really good public time for public input. And it may be duplicative. Who knows what's going to happen down the line? But it is super important, and I would hope that the committee would go along with this.
Okay.
Briefly, Madam Chair.
Representative Kira.
The reason why I think it's important to put it in this is a very short, straightforward bill. We have the time and the attention to deal with these issues as standalone issues. The problem with the other bill when it comes through here is that it's huge. It's going to involve, I'm just guessing, 20 issues. And as people get weary going through those issues, all of those individual issues are going to, at some point, possibly lose their own importance in the discussion. And I think this is straightforward enough that we could add it now while we're not weary, as opposed to trying to talk about it when we're talking about the 20 other issues in the other bill. So I think it's important that we add it now as a standalone amendment.
Hey,
just
Representative
Gruenberg? I'm looking at the first four lines of the amendment. And I don't think that the title reads that way anymore. I think we, just technically, Representative Guerra, I don't think we need that title amendment. Because this language isn't in the title. May have been in some other title, but it's not in this title.
I can catch up to you. So I'm looking at the CS for the Senate bill.
Version G.
Version G, and...
It had been in the other bill, but it's not in this one.
Oh.
I don't know where they got that language.
I think they meant insert instead of delete, is what it looks like.
Oh. Okay, well, then we should change that.
So you're aware this would involve a title change?
Yeah.
No. That's a different time limit.
Madam Chair, I'd like to offer an amendment to the amendment. I think Ledge Legal...
I looked at that.
I'd hate to jump to think Legal has this backwards, but it seems they do.
That's a statute.
I don't
see if it needs a title change. Let's just look through this. Judicial review, setting a time within the agency decision, enforceability of contract. Needs a title change. Yep.
Yeah, it does.
Madam Chair, I'd like to offer an amendment to the amendment,
okay.
Which is in the amendment on page 1, line 2, where it says delete, it should say insert.
Yeah. Is there an objection to the amendment to the amendment? Okay, hearing none, the amendment as amended is back before us. Further discussion on amendment number 4? Okay, hearing none, Madam Secretary, would you please call the roll on amendment number 4?
Representative Grunberg.
Yes.
Representative McGuire.
No.
Representative Caulfield.
No.
Representative Guerra.
Yes.
Representative Wilson.
No.
Representative Cott.
No.
Representative Anderson.
No.
Two yes, five no.
Okay, and I would just encourage Representative Guerra to, you think you've highlighted the issue, so however cumbersome the next bill is, I think it's on her mind.
Yeah.
So I'd encourage you to reoffer that where there's not a title change.
Madam Chair.
Representative Guerra.
Actually, I would encourage the other members of the committee to think it through. 90 days seems appropriate to me. My temptation is 120. I don't know if that's right, but I'd like to have other members of the committee think about the appropriate public notice period, too.
Okay, further amendments to Senate Bill number 2002. I don't have any more.
Madam Chair.
Representative Cott.
Madam Chair, conceptual amendment on page 2, line 4. I'd like to strike out 120 and insert 60 for all the various reasons that we talked about yesterday.
Okay.
Object.
There's an objection noted.
That's amendment 5.
That would be, Madam Secretary, amendment number 5. Okay, that's amendment number 5. Representative Guerra, you want to speak to your objection?
Madam Chair, I spoke to Representative Coghill about this in the hallway yesterday. I don't think people realize that filing a lawsuit isn't something where you just walk into the courthouse and put down a piece of paper and saying, I challenge. When you file a lawsuit, you have to advise the court the legal basis for why you're doing it, which claims you're making, what the statutory or constitutional or common law basis is for the claims you're going to make. You have to do some research. If you're a good lawyer as opposed to a lawyer of the kind that many of us criticize all the time, if you're a good lawyer and you honor your legal duties, you're supposed to do research first. You're supposed to really figure out what your case is before you walk into a courtroom. You're supposed to get your ducks in a row. You're supposed to gather your evidence and interview your witnesses. That's why we have 2-year statute of limitations normally. And here we are on the most complex case in state history and cutting it down already to 120 days. And then to cut that down to 60 days to tell a citizen they have to go out, they have to secure a contract with an attorney, and that attorney has to do all their research and slap together something within 60 days, I think that really disregards the reality of the situation of how complex this stuff is. I think 120 days almost does that. So I understand the urge to get this done quickly, but you just cannot do a credible job and uphold your legal duties, and you can't as a citizen really find an attorney that quickly, except there are a couple sort of well-financed parties out there, the oil companies, possibly the all-Alaska gas line people, those people probably have some of their ducks in a row already, but the average citizen doesn't. And if any of you have ever tried to get an attorney, you walk in, you're trying to get an appointment. After you get your appointment, you sit down at some point, then they do their research, and they get back to you in 2 months. 60 days just isn't going to do it, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair.
Representative Grunberg.
I'd like to just flesh out a little bit what Representative Garris said. Those of you who have your rule books, if you turn to page 33 of your rule book, and then I'm also going to refer to page 290. Rule 33 contains rule, I mean, sorry, page 33 is contains rule 11 in the right-hand column. And this is an extremely important rule in this case. And it says, every pleading, which includes a complaint, must be signed by the lawyer. And then about halfway down, it says, the signature of an attorney constitutes a certificate by the signer that the signer's read the pleading, that to the best of the signer's knowledge, information, and belief, formed after a reasonable inquiry, it's well-grounded in fact and is warranted by existing law or good faith argument for the extension of the law, and it's not interposed for any improper purposes, such as to harass or cause unnecessary delay or needless expense in the cost of litigation. And if it doesn't follow that, it can be stricken. And then, if you turn to page 290, to the penalties section, and you look at Rule 95, the new subsection B, which applies to cases filed on or after August 7, 1997, in addition to the power to punish for contempt, the court may impose a fine not to exceed $50,000 for anyone who violates a rule, including a rule like Rule 11. So it is extremely...
How many times do you think that's ever been?
I don't think that it's been imposed very often, but I know it has been imposed, and some of my friends and associates, if you look at some of the cases under Rule 95...
It's a frustration of mine. I'll be honest, it's on a completely separate subject, but it's a complete frustration of mine. I don't think Rule 11 is truly enforceable. I don't think it is enforced, and I think what you end up happening, and I was explaining my viewpoint on how litigation is filed to Representative Coghill yesterday, and my viewpoint is that, with all due respect, I do believe that most lawyers are diligent. I do believe that most try to include a reasonable basis for their claims, and they do try to do their homework and so on. That being said, the reality is that very often you will see boilerplate language in complaints, and the idea is to preserve the possibility of any claim that might be made. And I think that there is that is the more common practice. And so I guess my concern, I want to hear from the administration, but on this particular issue, my concern is that you're already talking about after the contract's execution, so that's quite a ways down the line. By the time in which any contract like this would be executed, you've already gone through, I think, significant hearings, significant discussion. I think people who are going to file this kind of litigation are going to be well aware of what issues are out there. That's my personal opinion. So that's one. Two, I think when you're dealing with a project of this complexity and magnitude, that someday, even if it's not in the coming years, we want to get accomplished, I think having a 60-day time limit is not unreasonable. My concern is that doubling that time period really puts you in a place of, there's tremendous uncertainty that surrounds that time period. That's one concern I have. That the better people are better off when they know once that suit is filed. There's tremendous uncertainty even in a statute of limitations, and the whole reason for a statute of limitations is that at some point you want to say people can move on with their lives and the claim's going to be cut off. In this case, to ask that we're doubling that time period from the House version, that people are going to sit out there waiting and wondering whether the project's in jeopardy and how they're going to have to respond to that through litigation, is a real burden. And I don't say that lightly, because I think Representative Guerra has good points. This is a very important issue, and I think you do want to present opportunities for people to challenge it. That's part of our system. But I don't think 60 days is unreasonable. I do think that the common practice is to file a claim, to include everything in the kitchen sink, to throw it up and see what sticks, and to know that the rules of the court favor fairness, and that as you move through that process, I don't see a court of law in this state rejecting information or claims that might arise later on in the process. I don't see that happening out of fairness. And so I think, these are just my personal beliefs about it. And I think that that's why you saw in the Trans-Alaska Pipeline, albeit federal, a similar path being taken, because it's of such importance. You want to open it up, but you also want to give some amount of certainty to the process and some amount of expediting. So those are just my thoughts. I'm not claiming to be an expert, but Representative Guerra?
You make a very good point, that's not my biggest concern. Your point is a competent lawyer can put together the paperwork to serve notice that they filed pretty quickly. I mean, you have to state what the grounds are for your claim. They can do that possibly, depending on how quickly the client comes to them, how quickly they're able to decide to take the case. Here's where the 60-day time period closes the courthouse doors to a citizen. The citizen is going to come in and say, I want to sue, do I have grounds to sue? And the lawyer is going to say, all I've read about is what I've seen in the paper. I have to go do the research to see whether you have a decent lawsuit. I'm not going to, and now we're talking about the legitimate attorney, not the slap-happy attorney, but the legitimate attorney, the one that you really want to hire if you're going to take on a complex case. You're going to go into that attorney's office and say, do I have grounds to challenge this? Will you represent me? The attorney, if they're a good attorney, will say, I don't know. Let me do some research on the constitutional question, on the legal question, as quick as I can. I'll get back to you as quick as I can. I will tell you, in a simple personal injury case, a slip and fall, a DWI case where somebody drives drunk, injures another person, and that person wants to sue the drunk driver, it almost always takes more than 30 days for a legitimate attorney to get back to the client and say, look, I've had other things to do. I'm already working 40, 60 hours a week, whatever. I had other things to do. I can't get back to you tomorrow. I'm going to do some research. I'm going to speak to some witnesses. I'm going to do some research. On the most complex case ever that attorney's probably ever seen, to think that they're going to say, yeah, I'll represent you without doing the legal research, without doing some background research, that's not going to happen. I mean, you will get fly-by-night attorneys to take these cases right away. You will get the Exxons, BPs, and all Alaska Gas Pipeline people who I assume have been following this, though I don't know if they all have been planning their lawsuit on this, but but the regular citizen, not a chance, not in 60 days. I mean, I probably barely a chance in 120 days. But I think by reducing it to 60 days, what you're saying is, I'm going to give you less time. I'm going to give you 1/12 of the time that we as the state of Alaska give you to prepare a slip and fall case. I'm going to give you 1/12 of the amount of time that we give you to do a car accident case. And, I'm hesitant about 120 days. I do understand the interest in getting this going quickly. But that 60 days that we want to shave off of this, I just think is inappropriate. I can live with 120 days, but I can't live with the 60 days.
Okay, I had Representative Anderson, then Gruenberg, and then just flag me down.
Madam Chair, Mr. Baldwin was kind enough to work with me in advance of the meeting with some, I think, salient arguments and refutes to what Representative Guerra has discussed, kind of on the public policy balance. I can defer, you have the same list, maybe to him. And for my time, maybe if you could respond to some of these points.
Well,
and I concur with what you're saying because we have the same list.
Is that a list that I could have?
No, it's our talking points.
I think it's, Madam Chair, I think it's important to note what we're trying to accomplish here, which is basically a test case to clear the air on these legal issues. Not unlike a test case for a bond financing or something of that nature, but it's so important to the state. I mean, the state's future revenues depend upon it. It's important to the project because of long lead times and for ordering of materials, and it's important because our partners in this have agreed to extend themselves to the tune of over $100 million in the planning process that they cannot interrupt or suspend under the force majeure provisions. They must continue to perform under Article 27.2, as I testified to the other day here on the House version of this bill. So what we're trying to do is clear the air and hopefully get as far as we can through the process within 15 months, when their obligation, then their ability then to suspend the contract springs into effect again back under Article 27. So what we're trying to fit within that 15-month period if we possibly can. I think as the council, people who are lawyers on this committee understand, we have notice pleading in Alaska, and it's not the code pleading of some states, and it's something that I think alleviates a large part of the burden that Representative Garris is concerned about. But as I said, in what we're trying to do is have a clear-the-air type litigation, which I think the small litigator or the individual citizen is going to get consumed by the sophisticated parties in this case. I think that's what's going to carry the case. Our purpose is to try and get people out in the open, or interests out in the open, so that they don't just hang back and wait for some critical choke point in the process to jump in with their lawsuit, which has been is always a threat in these kinds of cases. So the idea is to bring them out as quickly as possible, and then we're also driven by the 15-month requirement in our contract. As I stated the other day, there are other examples in the law for shortened periods to bring suit. They occur principally in the area of elections and in the area of redistricting, in the area of elections cases, also in children in the need of aid cases. There's shortened periods for bringing actions because of the very important nature of those cases. It's a policy judgment the legislature can make, since it has the power to legislate about suits that are brought against the state. But again, it's a policy call. It's within your hands. We would encourage you to stick with the 60 days that was in the governor's bill.
And just to use the remaining amount of my time, I think that it gets down to Representative Gere's argument that are we restricting rights as we make this policy on the 60-day versus other amount of time. And Mr. Baldwin and others in support of the 60-day have talked about this issue of substantive rights, and I don't think we're infringing on that. And I don't think that it's a matter of substantive right at all in terms of that amount of time versus a timing issue specifically. And your examples of like a personal injury case, I think, are trumped more appropriately with the cases you gave, which are things like redistricting, a redistricting board. You have to bring, like I remember back in 2000, as the redistricting lines, as they were drawn, you have 30 days, I think, for the initial complaint against that. I mean, it has to be within a certain amount of time. And with respect to election law, he mentioned a 10-day requirement. There's a couple different time parameters of challenges. And so if you weigh, in terms of public policy, the enormous cost, the enormous potential, most of us support the idea. We just want to make sure the construct, the procedures, and all those aspects within are appropriately confirmed by the legislature, so the process is up front and in public. You have to counter that with the cost and with the threat that we talked about during regular session, which was how many people will, just to be dilatory, challenge and cause problems. If you recall, we talked about discovery and how far do you give, how far do you open it up for the sorry for the hardcore left environmentalist who says, good, I'm just going to challenge every second of this, every minute, and thank God for the House Judiciary Committee because they expanded my rights so that I could be dilatory, and it's within the law. If this were to pass with the longer days. Now, I'm not suggesting that your change would be that egregious to allow those folks to protest, but I think that at the end of the day, we really have to come down with a number that's parallel to other administrative timelines, and I think this fits. And I don't think, and I know you're itching to respond, but personal injury cases wouldn't be the same. Especially with the cost.
Representative Kara?
So I'm not going to take the bait and actually run through the number of sort of right-wing dilatory cases I know about, but
we'll just
leave that to the side.
But they wouldn't be on this issue.
They might be.
That's true.
What I don't think anybody's addressed is the reality of how long it takes. I mean, we've addressed, you can slap together a pleading quickly. I understand that. But I don't think Mr. Baldwin addressed the reality, which is, how long it takes when somebody comes to your office for you to do a credible job to decide whether or not you're going to take on the case. And I guess, in fairness, if I don't know if either of you have practiced in private practice. I mean, in public practice, you have to take a case when the agency tells you, I want you to do this. But in private practice, where you have the option to take a case, I mean, if you've been in private practice before, isn't it fair to say it often takes more than 30 or 60 days before you get back to a client on a case half this complex? If you've practiced in private practice?
Well, I mean, if a client has a deadline, you do what you can to meet that deadline,
I guess my question is, I mean, when you were in private practice, wasn't it normal that it would take more than 60 days for you to say, you know, I think I can take this?
And I'll answer that for him. If it was a murder case, he'd probably get back within a day. If he was an insurance defense, he'd say, I need a year. You know, I mean, it depends on who your client is.
I'm going to try and speed this along. Look, I mean, of all the people here, I've probably practiced law as much or more than anyone, and I will represent to you it is very common to sit there and research the case before you take it, to know what your risk is, to know whether you can do it, and it's very common to take more than a month. It's just obvious. The other thing that I guess I would just respond to is Mr. Baldwin said, you know, this isn't, I mean, it's likely going to be the sophisticated parties that challenge this, so don't worry about the regular citizen. But I can't not worry about the regular citizen. You know, I think there are four parties that are going to litigate automatically. There's the state, BP, Exxon, Conoco. There's the All-Alaska folks, and maybe there's going to be somebody who didn't get a pipeline contract. But, you know, they have their interest to represent. The All-Alaska people, they're going to focus the case on maybe why the All-Alaska line is better. But I want the citizen to be able to and so the All-Alaska line folks aren't going to represent the general citizen, or they're going to represent themselves. And, you know, Enbridge is going to represent themselves. You know, I don't think that it's inappropriate to give a citizen the chance also to say, but these are the points that I think are important.
Representative Gruenberg? You were on my list.
Yes. Okay. I'd like to address something a little bit that hasn't been discussed at all, really, here. And that is, it's not just the filing of a paper, as Mr. Baldwin said, but let's look at the Let's look at what's really going on here. We have a project that is going to be litigated here in the little state of Alaska with, on the one side, the cast of clients are the three biggest oil companies in the world and the state of Alaska. Worth maybe $1 trillion. I don't know. It's a zillion. I can't even know what the value of those four entities is. And the ability to fund this litigation limitlessly. On the other hand, on the other side, will be somebody or a group of relatively small public interest people who will be either somebody pro-per going by themselves or somebody getting together a coalition of a few people, but far smaller, with a far weaker financial position than the giants on the other side. They'll be totally outgunned, totally out-litigated, and once you file a suit and the other side files the answer, the attorney can't, with you can't dismiss the case without either an order of the court or a stipulation of the parties, and you can't withdraw from the suit without the permission of the court. And so once a lawyer signs that pleading, they are in for the duration. They're arrayed against the biggest corporations in the entire world and the most wealthy state in the world with no help. The team of lawyers on the other side is either on a salary or on an hourly basis. They have deep pockets, doesn't begin to express this. And on the other side, you're not going to get this on a contingency fee. You're looking at it as a public interest case. And if they're getting paid at all, the amount they're getting paid is peanuts. People who work for public interest law firms are paid modest amounts. They donate their time. And they're going to get papered to death. They're going to get motioned to death. It's going to be very, very difficult to assemble anybody to protect people's constitutional rights. You may not agree with them, but you've got to agree that they have a right to have those cases decided by the Alaska Supreme Court. This is too important an issue to wink at the Constitution.
Well, I think we're getting a little dramatic.
No, we're not. This is the issue, Madam Chair.
Yes, but Representative Gruenberg, in all fairness, we're talking about a difference of 60 days between the maker of the amendment and the existing legislation. I would respectfully disagree that that involves a wink at the Constitution.
No, but it doesn't.
I would respectfully disagree. I would just ask members to confine their comments a little bit more narrowly.
But what I'm saying.
And with all due respect, there are valid arguments on either side. I don't think anyone sitting here in the House Judiciary Committee takes the Constitution lightly, and I don't think the basis of our opinions is any kind of an expression of our lack of faith in the Constitution. So I'm just asking you to please.
I know that people absolutely are right. And that's why I'm saying, to ensure that the Constitution is followed in this whole matter, it's going to take more than 60 days to be able to determine not just whether you're going to file the suit, but whether you can get the resources to litigate the case.
And I understand, but recognize in this committee, I can't think of how many times we sit here and talk about what is the right number of days, whether it's the Human Rights Commission, whether it's various points in statutes of limitation. I don't think anybody knows what the right period of days are, because there's always going to be, whether you set it at 120 or 60, there will likely be somebody that falls outside that scope. There's no question about that. And I understand the argument about being more conservative. There's a balance here that we're trying to strike between recognizing that the project is so critical, so important, that there's a certain need to resolve issues that are outstanding, to know whether you can go forward, and yet provide an opportunity for the public to challenge. And I think that's what we're trying to get at here today, is what is that right balance? What compels me more toward the 60 days is the fact that it begins after the contract's execution. And we all have differences of opinions here, but by the time a contract is executed, according to the Stranded Gas Act and the process that we've set out, you've had an extensive public comment period, you've had an opportunity to present that contract to the legislature by law, You've had hearings on it. You've had an up or down vote. You've had extensive coverage in the news media on it. I mean, this is not something that is going to creep up and surprise individuals, in my opinion. And so that's you know, that's my opinion. But I'd like to give other members an opportunity to comment that haven't, if they'd like to, on the subject.
May I just say one thing?
Yes, Representative Groenberg.
Thank you. Granted, there'll be public notice, but there's a difference between knowing it and being able to assemble the people around who are willing to stand up and be part of the litigation team on this. When they have such a huge bottomless array of armament on the other side, it's in a military sense a question of sheer logistics. And to mobilize anybody, because one person can't do this, it just won't work. It's got to, in fact, I could think that you could have the entire Alaska bar, all 2,000 people on one side, and it would barely match the resources, the financial resources that would be available. We are such a small state, and you might have to, frankly, look for some people outside to participate in this with this expertise. There are so many different aspects of this contract that are involved, and I'm not suggesting that we are doing the wrong thing in having a contract at all. I support a pipeline, but I just want to be sure that this is a fair process.
So, and you know, I guess that's just a final thought. What's so difficult is there's a political undercurrent that is going into all of this that saddens me to a degree, because we're making a law here today that's going to exist whether or not it's Governor Murkowski's gas contract, whether it's Governor Knowles, Governor Croft, Governor Binkley, Governor Palin's. And, you know, what we're trying to do is set up a structure that, frankly, attracts people to the table as well. And these are the kind of individuals that would ever enter into a contract, a mega project, as it's been described to us, of this magnitude, are few and far between that have this kind of these kinds of resources. And we're competing with people all around the world. And so I'm just encouraging people to think about the fact that this isn't just a political issue here. This is an issue of whether it's under this administration or another. Someday, I think we want to build a gas pipeline. And there's going to be a contract, and it's going to be executed, and there will be challenges. That's the nature of it. And we shouldn't arbitrarily cut off those challenges. But there's a right balance between saying to individuals that would like to enter into a contract with us that there will be a point at which you can be guaranteed certainty that the challenge will be out, that the race is on to prove your contract, and then let's be done with it. And that's all I'm trying to say.
May I just say,
and I fear that this is getting wrapped up in, I fear this. I'm not impugning anyone's motivation. I'm simply saying I have fears that this is getting wrapped up in politics, and I'm encouraging people to look at the bigger picture.
The only thing I...
Eddie Burke?
The only thing... I'll pass on that one. The only thing I am saying here is the 120 days isn't a figure that I'm coming up with. It's a figure that the conservative Republican Senate came up with. Hardly a radical figure. I'm simply saying that, and you haven't heard me say 121 days or any more. I am simply saying that if you want to see this bill avoid a conference committee, avoid getting wrapped up, go along with them on this point, and let's get them to concur and pass the thing.
And we'll move on, but it already is going to go to, I mean, there's already, we're already making changes to the bill. So, okay, further discussion on amendment number Peggy.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
What's the amendment number?
For the very reasons that Representative Groenberg talked about, the immense issues that are going to be in this contract and everything, and that the overwhelming
specialists that are going to be attorneys on the other side. I because of that, and because of the fact that if the general public goes to anybody in this state, if they aren't specialized in some area, they're going to turn it down right off. I mean, so I think the fact that you're concerned that somebody's not going to have time to do this, right off the bat, tons of people are going to be eliminated just because of the fact that, oh, I know what this is about, and there's no way I can handle this. And so I'm not worried about that 60 days because of that. The person that's going to accept it is going to already be very specialized, is going to be well qualified, and will be able to know right off whether he could handle it, or he or she could handle it or not. So because of that fact alone, I'm not as concerned about that 60 days. And I just think that's very important. In the reality of the situation, you're not going to have regular Joe Blow attorney even thinking about doing this. And so because of that, I'm not concerned as much about that.
Representative Cockhill?
The action is to be commenced within 60 days if the amendment passes, 120 days if we don't. It's been said that you need time for discovery. And so I've been pondering this since last night, obviously. And so I've gone back in my mind thinking, what kind of portfolio would you have to start putting together, starting from, say, a year ago when there was the rumblings to just some time ago when the contract was laid out, and the different experts that have come to the table, including the economists, the lawyers. There's quite a body of thought put together, and I understand we're having to assimilate it because of policy issues. It's easier to challenge something, obviously, as we have seen through the legislative process. Sometimes it's easier to stop something than it is to promote something. And I have been convinced that the commencement of an action probably is a little easier, because I think at this point you're just saying unless the action is commenced within these amount of days. So it is a limitation, there's no doubt about it. But once the action is commenced, my understanding that it can be an ongoing action. So it doesn't die within those 60 days, and it has been kind of intimated that it would. And I understand you want to be as prepared as you can, but so with that, I'm probably going to go ahead and figure in the 60 days is probably plenty enough time, given that we've had months of discovery that is available to anybody in public documents.
Madam Chair, if we leave this at 120 days, there is some chance that I think a regular citizen might be able to get involved in the challenge in the public process. Moving it 60 days, I think it's quite guaranteed, more guaranteed for sure, that this is just going to be a thing between the titans who have their own special interests. This is going to be something that the regular citizen doesn't have the voice in, just the well-financed interests. It might be true at 120 days too, but it's certainly more true at 60 days. I'm going to say something I think we're all going to agree with across party lines. And you made the point, and I made some points that if I thought about them, I would think back and say maybe I shouldn't have made that one. And you made the point that the media has been covering this, but you know what? Shame on the Daily News. They don't have a reporter down here. The media covers maybe one segment of the 11 or 12 things we're talking about every day, and probably not in a way that any of us thinks is the way it should have been done. So is the public informed as to what's going on down here? The public is seeing the surface. There are times that media reports have been good. There have been times there's been no reporter here. There are weekends when there are no reporters here, or almost no reporters here. So I don't think that the public, I don't think that we can say that the public will know this issue by the time that 60-day clock starts running. I think the most sophisticated parties that have been milling around this building will know that, but not beyond that. So it really is, I think the question is, do you think the legislature was right in 1998 when they said it should be 120 days? I think I'm comfortable with that balance. Cutting that time period in half today, I think, I don't know if it guarantees, but it does more to guarantee that fewer citizens will be involved in this process and that more special interests will weigh in on this process, that will be the weight of the challenge. So I think it's a bad idea to cut it down to 60 days, and I believe that will cut the chances of citizen participation out.
Representative Coghill and Gruenberg.
The legislature was right when it said 120 days because this was dealing with a contract that a governor could make without any other public input. And this contract has demanded public input. It's a whole different animal. It's we have our budget and audit committee that has not only shared the consultants with the legislature but with the public. So I think that there, if you want to find question marks on any side of any issue, it's different than probably any other contract anticipated under the section that this is amending.
And I'll get to Representative, just the one other thing I want to highlight that Mr. Baldwin said and might have been glossed over is the fact that we are a notice pleading state and not a code pleading state, and that is really important because there is that opportunity for things to fetter out later on. Representative Gruenberg.
When Representative Anderson was talking about left-leaning people challenging this, et cetera, I think as a practical matter, in this particular contract, the way it's written now, the challenges wouldn't come from them. The challenges would come from people who feel that we're giving away our taxing power for 30 or 45 years. It's the people who want to be sure that the state is getting its fair share of taxes over the next 30 or 45 years. And if we look at people in Anchorage and the way they voted recently, they are most concerned about folks who, and big companies, et cetera, who we give up our power to even keep pace with inflation. The people who will be looking at this are the taxpayers. And if we eliminate the time to be able to get together a group to represent the taxpayers will be most concerned about that. And that's where I'm coming from here.
Okay, Representative Coghill.
I know you want to call the question, but before I came down here in December, I heard lawyers making it very clear that if this contract did anything like that, that they would be right there at the front door. So my guess is they've already got their cases ready to go, and they've been enlisting people. And there are several big issues, state ownership, sovereign immunity, taxing for those periods of time are going to be issues, and they're real issues. They're real issues that we're struggling with. But to think that people are not already studying these issues, even the taxpayers, looking at the emails that I've been getting, I'd say we've got some very thoughtful citizens who have already begun the debate.
Okay, Madam Secretary, please call the roll. Is it amendment number four?
Amendment number five. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Representative Coghill.
Yes.
Representative Cott.
Yes.
Representative McGuire.
Yes.
Representative Garrett.
No.
Representative Gruenberg.
No.
Representative Wilson.
Yes.
So amendment number five carries. Further amendments to CS for Senate Bill number 2002. No further amendments? Representative Coghill?
Motion.
Madam Chair, if there's no further amendments.
Before we move this up.
Yes, Representative Guerra. Or discussion on it, I guess.
Yeah, no, I should bite my lip here, but I'm not going to. I would ask the Attorney General's office. I mean, you've supplied certain members of this committee talking points. I would like to see them, so I would like a copy. Would you provide me one?
Hold on. Okay.
Yes. Yes, that will be done. Okay, that will be done. So, motion.
Madam Chair, I'd move that we move out of committee CS for Senate Bill 2002, Judiciary Amended, individual recommendations, and zero fiscal note.
Is there an objection to the motion? Okay, hearing none, or hearing an objection?
No.
Okay. Senate Bill, CS for Senate Bill number 2002, as amended with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes. Are you meaning to interrupt and void the roll? Are you meaning to interrupt, or are you meaning to object to the motion?
May I just say something?
Okay. Are you meaning to object to the motion?
I'm not objecting to the motion,
okay,
but I would
just... Could you please allow me to finish the motion?
Sorry.
Thank you. So it will be moved out of this committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes. Now, Representative Gruenberg.
Thank you. I apologize.
That's
I'm not objecting to the movement of the bill. I'm going to sign amend because of the last motion. And I just wanted to put that on the record. I support the bill.
Okay, it's on the record. Any other comments for the good of the order for the record? Okay, and I want to note Representative Newman has sat through the entire hearing with us. We appreciate it. With that, why don't we go ahead and recess to the call of the chair, because I don't know what our next step is.
We've done the PIPECO bill. We've done the judicial review bill. The other major bill we have is, of course, the stranded gas amendment one that they're almost in meltdown mode over somewhere else in this building. I would feel much more comfortable if we knew we weren't bringing that up today, rather than.
I don't anticipate bringing it up today.
So I guess I would ask you just to recess and notice a meeting tomorrow rather than to the call of the chair, just so I don't have to have, if my staff wants to run away from the building for a while, if I want to run away from the building for a while. And frankly, I'm going to spend a bit of the rest of the day reading the memos we've gotten from our consultants.
But I'm going to recess to the call of the chair. I want to preserve my rights as a chairman in case something comes up that my leadership might agree to or direct me. But I can tell you right now, my intention is that we'll go to the floor session, that we'll do our work on the floor today, and that if we're going to take up the stranded gas amendment, we'll do so tomorrow. That's my intention. But I think you know I have a good record of communicating very clearly. But I don't want to curtail any of my rights as a chair in case something that I can't say would come up. So with that, I'm going to recess to the call of the chair. I don't envision.